The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to cooley@admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 25th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's out of Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, specialty crop producers will be in Washington, D.C. tomorrow, and they are expected to ask for $1 billion. The Doha round at the WTO is still limping along, but just barely, and the U.S. Senate may push China to revalue its currency. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. After the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy that to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, as we do each and every business day. And along the way, we'll hear from Bob Thompson. He's been sitting in on some Illinois agricultural conversations about ethanol. Thompson, of course, is an ag policy specialist here at the U of I. And you are listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat down 5.25 cents at 4.13 3/4. March futures at 4.32 were off 4.25 for the day. December contract in the corn pit down 0.5 cent at 2.54 3/4. And the March futures at 2.68 1/4 were down 1/4 for the day. May futures 2.75 3/4 unchanged, and next year's December contract at $2.97.5, up 2 cents. November soybeans at 5.45, down 4.25. January futures at 5.58 3/4, 3.5 lower. And the March contract at 5.69.5, down 4 cents. November's down 4.75 for next year at 6.03.5 in the bean pits. A soybean meal. October contract 162.40, off $2.80. Soybean oil at 23.82, down 0.05 for the day. And the feeder cattle at $115.70 a hundredweight were down 35 cents at the Mercantile Exchange. The live cattle pit October contract at $90.72.5 were up 62.5. December futures were 20 cents higher at $90 even. And the October lean hogs at $62.12.5 were down 52.5 cents. The outside markets crude oil November contract $61.40 a barrel. It's up 85 cents at the last trade. The dollar at 85.32, down, or rather up 0.16. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,608, up nearly 100 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Kurt Kimmel is out of the office this afternoon, suffering just a bit from a toothache, I'm told. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, joins us in his stead. Thanks for filling in. We appreciate it much. What can you tell us about the trade for the day, Pete?
Well, we opened lower on everything. Outside markets were lower. Our forecasts were good for harvest. And then the energies came back, and that helped everything, I think, a little bit come back from its lows, especially the corn and the bean pits. Corn only down, you know, that quarter to half after being down 2.5, and the beans were down 8 to 9 early. So the energy coming back, I think, helped both the ethanol and the soybean oil to keep those markets from going lower.
It's been an interesting fall so far, but a bit delayed in the numbers coming in from the harvest, at least on the start. What do you expect this afternoon from USDA's reports?
They're looking at about 14% nationwide in corn and maybe about 10 to 12 in beans. I don't know. We don't have that here, but I've got guys in southern Illinois and western Illinois half done or three-quarters done with corn. I have very few beans anywhere cut, but not here in central Illinois.
We were expecting big rainfall over the weekend. That didn't happen.
In places, there was an inch or more, but where it rained, they were out harvesting this morning.
And then as you take a look at the marketplace, what are you telling folks that are calling in about LDP and corn?
Well, there isn't any right now, and they'd sure like to have some. We think there could be some. A lot of people are saying that we've seen the lows. We still think with a good crop coming in that we'll have harvest pressure to push them back down. So we think there will be some in the next couple of weeks. You get into the second week of October.
We'd have to break the market, what, another
20 cents?
Yeah.
Get back towards the old lows that we made back 2 weeks ago.
And you think that's a possibility?
I think that's still a possibility just because of the large, almost 11 billion crop of corn. And the old carryout, plus everything's going to be, an awful lot of it's going to be harvested all at once. The early beans, the middle beans, and the late beans, they're all going to be ripe at the same time in a lot of places.
And so there could be a very large glut coming into the marketplace.
Right, all at once.
What are you hearing from producers about their willingness to plant more corn acres next year? Have they made that decision already, or are they
some have, some haven't. You know, if corn were 312 like it was a month ago on the board, and instead of 295 right now, that might help. I mean, we're 15 to 20 cents lower than we were 2 weeks ago. With high nitrogen prices and high fertilizer, and beans, over back above $6 in places due to the basis shortening, narrowing, I don't know that farmers are going to go that much more to corn unless there's a real reason, and the reason would be price. And right now, $2.54 today. What's it going to be next year if we have more acres at this price? I think some guys have already done it because they've already hedged for more acres when new crop corn was $3.20, $3.20. I think it got to $3.18 to $3.20.
Mm-hmm.
And if they hedged then for next year, they're planting more. The guys that didn't, they're a little worried about where it's going.
You mentioned the high price of nitrogen. Natural gas supply seemed to be adequate and actually pretty abundant at this point. What have you heard about the price of nitrogen for this fall?
I've heard $50 less an acre and $100 less an acre, but still very high. If you take nitrogen prices under 5 cents, which they are now, how much of that is made into fertilizer whenever it's made? I think they just use whatever that price is, and I don't know that any of it's being made right now. Was made when nitrogen was higher priced. I mean, when the natural gas was higher priced.
You also mentioned the outside markets, crude oil in particular, at $61.40 a barrel. I think it went up to high of about $75 a barrel, so it's off 14,
yeah,
13 or 14.
And today we were under 60 for a while. We closed 180 points above the low today. Are we near the lows there? And we're going to turn around and go back up? I don't know.
It'll be interesting to watch and see. How far would that have to break to have an impact, you think, on basis levels for corn? And I guess I'm thinking about transportation.
Yeah, see, transportation
energy.
Right now, the basis has improved a lot in places. I think the basis here today for beans was only 20. Last week it was 43. The basis, I think, here on corn is 25. It was 30 a week ago. And a lot of that's just, hey, they need it now. The normal harvest in this area hasn't occurred. So people are willing to pay more for it at that end. I think, gas was up over 3. Now it's, 220 in this area.
Yep.
I don't know that diesel fuel, though, has come down for trucking. I think it's still pretty high. So that's a big factor that I think it's got to stay down there for a while to get it through the system, because a lot of the stuff that's in the system being sold now is procured at a lot higher prices.
But on the day trade side of this equation, what do you think is a good trade for today and tomorrow?
I think sell bounces in beans or corn just for them to pull back into harvest pressure.
Anything we ought to add before I let you go today, maybe on the Mercantile Exchange?
The Merc had, they were ca- cattle were higher, and then they were lower, and hogs tried lower again today. People thinking it's time for hogs to turn around. People think it's time for cattle to bounce a little because they've been down so long, but I don't know where we're at there on the exports and where the usage is. So I think we're just sideways in both cattle and hogs.
We appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, you.
Thank you much. And that is Pete Manhart. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, filling in today for the ailing Kurt Kimmel, who had to step out of his office this afternoon.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. AM 580's own Mike Sola says tonight across the two-state region, mostly clear skies, areas of some patchy dense fog developing overnight, mainly in southern sections and in central Indiana. Lows, he says, will range from 42 in northwestern Illinois to around 50 in southwestern Illinois tomorrow. Mostly sunny skies, says Mike. Highs will range from 70 in eastern Indiana to 78 in southern Illinois tomorrow. Less than anticipated rainfall over the weekend, and mild and dry conditions over the next couple days will favor field work, he says, across central sections of Illinois and Indiana. Southern sections did not, by the way, get heavy rainfall, and some locations will require more drying time before harvest resumes. Southern sections did get heavy rainfall. The extended forecast for the two-state region looks like this. Dry weather expected through the middle of the week, with a next storm system arriving in northern Illinois on Thursday and beginning. Some rain chances on that evening. Cool to cold conditions on Friday will be followed by another chance for some showers over the weekend. Temperatures will be near average until about midweek, when a cold front ushers in much cooler conditions. There will be a chance for some frost in northern and some central locations that coming Friday morning of this week. Minimum relative humidities between 40% and 50%. Our range on Tuesday and slightly above 50% on Wednesday. Wind speeds less than 10 miles an hour Tuesday, increasing to 10 to 15 miles an hour on Wednesday. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment to take a complete look at the agricultural news for the day. You're listening to your Agricultural Information Advantage, by the way. This is the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, specialty crop producers could request $1 billion tomorrow when they testify before a House Agriculture Subcommittee about the next farm bill. The money would be used for market development, agricultural research, and more USDA purchases of specialty crops for food programs. European Union Trade Representative Peter Mandelson will be in Washington, D.C. this week in an effort to revive the stalled Doha round. Mandelson will meet with U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns, State Department and National Security Council officials, and key agricultural lawmakers. Mandelson will also meet with American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman, who testified last week that NFBF would favor extension of the 2002 Farm Bill with a few modifications.
There is a definite connection between what the Farm Bill policy should be and where we are going with Doha. So we believe it's very important to maintain that negotiating leverage to achieve market access by maintaining the structure of our farm programs. Peter Mandelson, Trade Commissioner for the EU, is adamant about us not extending this farm bill. And I'm not inclined to do what the Trade Commissioner for the EU wants us to do.
At a news conference last week, Johanns said he intends to reiterate that the EU needs to open up its marketplace. The Senate could take up China's currency on Wednesday. A bill sponsored by New York Democrat Chuck Schumer and South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham would place tariffs on Chinese goods if China does not announce a major currency revaluation. The White House opposes the bill, and congressional sources say House GOP leadership will not consider the matter, even if the measure passes in the Senate. The European Commission announced plans last Friday to extend the production of crops that can be used for making energy as part of its strategy to develop alternative sources. Under the plan, the EU would extend farm subsidies for energy crops to all 25 members of the EU. Currently, such subsidies are available to 17 members. The plan would also allow subsidies for crops that grow over several years, such as tall elephant grass. And the Pew Center on Global Climate Change released a new report that says the U.S. could reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 10% to 25% by replacing fossil fuels with biofuels. The report says policy incentives are needed to reduce costs of producing biofuels and to accelerate technological discovery. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Well, up next, the leadership of Illinois agriculture are concerned ethanol demand could negatively impact other sectors within the state. In particular, as you'll hear, the group is hoping to identify the potential problem areas and to find solutions before those problems develop. Ag economists say the price of corn must go higher in order to meet the growing demand for ethanol. Now, corn is used to make the fuel. If prices climb high enough, fast enough, farmers in the state of Illinois, and around the nation for that matter, will respond by planting more acres of the crop. It is exactly what most farmers have been dreaming about since 1972, when Congress passed the legislation that put into motion today's ethanol boom. High prices, even when the crops are great. Still, there may be a problem. The agricultural leadership in the state of Illinois recently sat down to discuss the potential pitfalls should a lot of farmland be shifted into corn and away from soybeans next year. University of Illinois ag economist Bob Thompson lays out some of the more cautionary notes.
I think all the agriculture leaders of the state are concerned about the benefits and potential costs of the expansion in ethanol production. We're going to see a very substantial expansion in ethanol production capacity here in the state of Illinois. It's giving corn growers some of the highest prices in memory, and we may get record high prices of corn within a year or so, according to some analysts' projections. But this is likely to pull out a significant amount of land out of soybeans into corn in the coming year or years. And so soybean grower or soybean association folks are concerned about, well, what's this going to mean for the whole meal and oil sector of the agricultural economy and of agribusiness. And livestock producers, they see the byproducts coming out of ethanol production as a feed source, particularly for ruminant livestock. It seems to be more limiting with monogastrics how much you can use. And the livestock industry, of course, is also concerned about the cost of feed. How much impact is this expansion in ethanol production capacity? So the agricultural leaders of the state, I think, are rightly looking at it, trying to stay on top of things and not get caught surprised by events as they unfold.
Well, the dawn is upon us, and that flower called ethanol should unfold in the next 6 months. Just in time, by the way, says U of I's Bob Thompson, to impact the farm bill debate, potentially swaying Congress away from extending the safety nets of the 2002 version in favor of a more geographically diversified piece of economic legislation. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us now to take a look at the cash grain market on this Monday afternoon is Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's beautiful weather. I bet that the combines are finally really rolling, maybe almost in full force, but not quite around the county. Is that right?
Yeah, not quite. The corn is still plenty wet. Farmers would love for it to dry down another 3 to 4 points, but it just doesn't seem to be drying down as quickly as what they would like to see. So there's some end rows being taken off, some fields being opened up, but I don't know that we're in full force yet. I think most of them are hoping that the corn will dry down with weather like this. If we get a few more days of this, maybe then we'll be in full force.
For the area, what are you hearing in early yields as they take off just the end rows? And I know that's not particularly a good judge of what's out in the field, but what are you hearing?
Corn is variable. Right in this particular area, things look to be pretty good, 180 to 200. But there are some areas that were stressed early that might only be in the 160s to 170s, and we keep thinking that we'll, you know, as we get into the fuller season corn, we'll hear better yields. But beans seem to be pretty uniformly better than expected, whereas corn, you can find three or four fields that are better than expected, three or four that are about as expected, and then three or four that are actually a little bit lower than expected. So the corn is all over the place, and you know, that makes me think that the USDA's 174 estimate for Illinois may be a little high. With the kind of variability we have, it's hard to imagine a record yield for Illinois, although people say the northern third of Illinois will really bring the average up this year, so we'll have to wait and see. I don't think they've gotten into the harvest yet up there. So, you know, as we start hearing more and more out of the northern third of Illinois, that'll probably tell the tale whether we can reach the USDA's goal for Illinois of 174 or not.
Speaking of tails, tell me about the cash basis over the last month.
Cash corn basis has been extremely strong over the last month. Now, here in the last week or 10 days, there's been a little bit of harvest activity, and we've seen basis levels weaken about 3 to 4 cents at the Gulf. I think a week or so ago, 10 days ago, they were 60 to 62 over. Today, the Gulf basis is 58 over on corn, so a little weaker there. But the bean basis has gotten firmer, and that stands to reason with the big sell-off in the futures market. Bean basis, I think, a week ago was 60 over. Now it's up to 66 over. And also with the recent sell-off in wheat futures, wheat basis is up a little bit. So beans and wheat are stronger at the Gulf, but the nearby corn basis is getting weaker. It's still very strong, but it's getting weaker, and we would anticipate as harvest progresses that that basis would weaken a little bit more as well.
And the bean numbers do look pretty awful over the last couple, 2 or 3 days from the Chicago Board of Trade, if you're watching what's been happening over the last, I guess, week and a half or 2 weeks in those numbers. And is that part and parcel maybe of this better-than-average crop that Champaign County and the growing area is showing to you? Maybe there's more beans out there than expected?
Yes. You know, the beans are basically, there's a vacuum in here. Farmers really don't want to sell, but the end users really don't want to buy either. So you get the funds that can move the market one way or the other, probably a little bit more than what they would if the farmers and the processors and end users were participating. But, you know, that's why on days, we've seen days where beans are up 9 cents for no real reason, and then we see beans down Friday on, you know, 9 cents on days like Friday for, you know, there's just a lot of air in this market, and so we can see swings probably exaggerate a little bit more than what the actual supply and demand fundamentals might suggest.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes the day at 235, January 253, cash beans 525, January 543, and cash wheat 350.
Thanks much. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Anderson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. In just a few moments, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. But before that, we'll get an update of the local and regional news.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A veteran administrator at the University of Illinois will take the top post at South Dakota State University. The school in the town of Brookings has hired David Chiquin as its 19th president, effective January 1st. Chiquin is the U of I's vice president for technology and economic development. He's a South Dakota native and a South Dakota State graduate. In a release, Chiquin says he owes his successes to the people he's met in his work with the U of I, and he calls the prospect of heading to South Dakota State exciting. A new statewide poll says most Illinois voters think public schools need more money. 61% of registered voters polled said public schools are not adequately funded, compared to 20% who said they were. Half of those polled said they would support an income or sales tax increase for schools if property taxes were lowered. Governor Rod Blagojevich opposes the tax swap idea, and Republican opponent Judy Bartopinka says any tax increase should be a last resort. The poll was conducted last week by Mason-Dixon Polling for Copley News Service. Governor Blagojevich is announcing a new Chicago to Carbondale Amtrak train this afternoon. The Saluki will run between the two cities starting October 30th. It will make stops in Rantoul, Champaign, and Mattoon like the current Illini train. And like that train, the state is footing most of the bill for the Saluki. Lawmakers passed bills last spring creating the Saluki and three other new in-state Amtrak trains connecting Chicago to St. Louis and Quincy. When metal detectors are installed in the Indiana courthouse in the next few months, ordinary citizens will be prohibited from carrying firearms in the building. But state legislators and judges will be allowed to keep their weapons if they register them first with the Indiana State Police. Blues singer, guitarist, and pianist Henry Townsend is dead. The 96-year-old was born in Shelby, Mississippi, and grew up around Cairo, Illinois. He moved to St. Louis when he was a boy. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
And I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. Just one note on that newscast. David Chiquin, as you heard, moving to South Dakota State, spent the majority of his career in the College of Aces, and he served as an ag economist, and then, before he moved up campus, served as the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences here on the University of Illinois campus. Our congratulations to Dean Chiquin and his move as president of South Dakota State in the coming years. We wish him the best of luck. Joining us now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, on a Monday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, what happened to all that rainfall over the weekend? Didn't see any of it here in Champaign County.
Yeah, across the central portion of the belt here, especially in Illinois, kind of missed out with the widespread heavy nature that other areas saw. In fact, you go west and the portions of the Midwest and areas such as Iowa, Nebraska, northern Missouri, those areas got very heavy rains. And then east of us, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, those areas also got hit hard with some of the torrential downpours. Really, it's just a matter of timing with our very strong autumn system that moved across the region. And thankfully, Illinois was spared, at least with the brunt of heavy weather.
And then as you look forward, rainfall on the horizon anywhere, Tim?
Well, certainly it looks like we're getting into a drier pattern across the Midwest. What we've seen over the past several weeks is troughing of low pressure basically centered across the nation's midsection. As we go now through the remainder of September and on in early October, the troughing will be positioned more so across the East Coast. So as a result, the Midwest will be in a bit more of a northwest flow jet stream pattern. That is a normal to drier than normal pattern. So certainly it looks like we're getting out of this dryness, although temperatures will be biased a little bit on the cool side here coming up over the next week's time frame.
We'd better check in on a couple of other global hotspots. Tell me about Australia, Argentina, Brazil, and China.
Yeah, well, Australia continues to have its dryness woes, which has really plagued the winter wheat belt all growing season long. And now as the crop goes through the yield-sensitive heading stage, that area will continue to miss out on rains, and thus crop conditions will continue to go downhill here over the next couple of weeks. Across China, they're harvesting corn and soybeans, and it looks like rapid harvesting will take place over the next week to 10 days as dry, warm weather prevails. Also, that will allow for a planting of winter wheat. And overall, there's no significant issues at this stage of the game across China. And then finally down across South America, Brazil is getting a nice drink of water here as we start the new growing season across that area. They've turned very active over the past week's time frame and will remain active as we go into the early portion of October. Argentina, though, has had its dryness problems, and that's affected their winter wheat crop. And now we have to watch things for the upcoming corn and soybean planting here. Corn planting will start up in October with soybean planting later on, but that area could use some rain. Their next chance is coming up over the upcoming week, and at this time it does look like a decent rain event, but that time frame is the time frame to watch for getting good rains in Argentina.
Mark, we appreciate you being with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Monday afternoons. Remember to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey, and that you can hear today's futures analysis, cash grain report, and weather right there on our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. You have a great and a very safe afternoon. If you're harvesting, be careful. I'm Todd Gleason.